Bibles tonight, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I was praying on what to preach about tonight, and I think it was Friday night, the Lord had given me a little message, and I want to just be an encouragement tonight. I'm thankful tonight that the Word of God gives us encouragement. I'm thankful tonight that the Bible tells us how we can be saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful tonight that it tells us one day there's going to be a rapture of the church. And I believe that's the next timetable on God's timetable. We meant the next event, the Lord Jesus returning, coming for His church to take the bride out of the world, amen, to see Jesus. And I want to preach on that tonight and just pray that it encourages you tonight. I believe as Christians we all need encouragement from time to time, amen. And I believe this is a very encouraging passage of Scripture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 13, the Bible says, "But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if ye believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." What a day that'll be, amen. To meet the Lord in the air. Let me say that again. To meet the Lord in the air. I'm looking forward to meeting Jesus one day, amen. To meet Him in the air. "And so shall we ever be with the Lord." And then Paul says, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Amen. That's comforting words tonight. Father, we love you tonight. And God, I appreciate the wonderful opportunity to be at our church once again tonight to preach the Word of God. Father, what an encouragement Paul has written to the Thessalonian church. Father, they were concerned about what was going on. And Father, what a word of encouragement to Christians tonight as the world just sometimes can bring us down and get us discouraged. I'm thankful tonight the Word of God is encouragement to the Christian people. Lord, I'm thankful tonight that you're coming back for your church. It's been preached thousands of years, but God, I know that's just that much closer. And I'm thankful tonight you're coming back one day for your church. Father, help us tonight as we preach the Word of God. Fill us with Thy Spirit. Give us the very words we need tonight. Speak to hearts tonight. And Father, we'll praise You and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You know, Paul is writing to the church in Thessalonica. It was brand new and it had just been founded. It was also being persecuted and some of the people there were under attack. Believers were dying and some were being martyred for their faith. And Christ had not yet returned. As the preacher said today in Sunday school, they were looking for His return back then, amen. What, 2,000 years ago? I'm still looking for His return today. You say, "I've preached that, I've heard that, and so have I by many preachers." But I'm glad, listen, it's that much closer, amen. Every day that goes by, it's that much closer. But He was telling the church, amen. But here it was, they were looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of their great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Can I tell you tonight, I'm looking for that blessed hope tonight. That is the hope of the Christian. That is the hope of the child of God when Jesus calls the church, amen, out of the world to be with Him throughout all eternity. That's the glorious hope that we have to look forward to. Let me tell you what, the passage offers the most glorious hope to believers tonight. It truly does. And at the same time, will begin the most terrifying judgment for unbelievers. Because after the rapture of the church, the 7-year tribulation will start. The first 3.5 years are going to be terrible, terrible. But the very last 3.5 years are going to be something that the world has never seen. It's going to be total hell on earth. It's going to be horrible. The things that the world is going through now, as 15 years ago, 2001 with the September 11th attack, that was some of the worst things I've seen, America has seen in many, many years. And it was terrible. My wife and I were talking about that tonight. What a terrible thing. We had no idea what was going on. We were shocked. I remember we closed the store early, and I was going at State Line at the time, and I think we met down there about 5 o'clock. The church got together, and we got at the altar, and we prayed for this country. We had no idea what was going to go on, what was going to happen next. I'm telling you what. Hey, listen, that was a horrible thing. I don't take anything away from that, but let me tell you what. The tribulation is going to be many, many, many times worse. It's going to be horrible for the unbeliever. There will be no second chance for someone to get saved. You might say, hey, I'm going to wait till I get older. I'm going to wait till I do what I want to do. The Bible says you will believe a lie. Amen. You will not be able to be saved. But the rapture of the church for the Christians tonight is glorious. It's a wonderful thought tonight. And I just want to share a few moments with you tonight. I won't be very long. The Bible says, but I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren. He's talking to the Christians. Paul's talking to the born-again believers. He's talking to the church of God. He said, I will not have you be ignorant. Can I tell you, he was writing this letter because they were concerned about the ones that have gone on, the ones that have been died, the ones that have been martyred or killed. They were concerned about where they would be and if they would see them again. Paul wrote, I wouldn't have you be ignorant. Can I tell you tonight, we need not be ignorant about the Word of God. Listen, there's so much in this Bible. Listen, none of us will ever understand all of it. Amen. Sometimes I think myself, I'm pretty stupid that I don't know a whole lot about the Word of God. But let me tell you something. This Bible tonight, we can't be ignorant about it. We need to study. We need to learn. We need to pray the Holy Spirit of God. Show us what to do, understanding the Word of God. Let's not be ignorant about the Word of God. Amen. Study to show thyself approved. Amen. Listen, let's dig in. Let's find the golden nuggets of the Word of God. Let's not be ignorant about the Word of God. Bless God, this Word of God tells us how to be saved. I'm glad of that. This Word of God tells us how we're going to get to heaven. It tells us by the blood of Jesus Christ. It tells us that Jesus came, lived a perfect 33 and a half year life, no sin in his life. He suffered and bled and died on Calvary. 3 days again, praise God, he rose from the grave. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. It tells about people that are not saved. It tells about heaven and hell. We need to know this Word. We need to understand the Word of God. He said, I will not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not. They were absolutely concerned about their loved ones that have gone on before them. What was taking place, where they would be, what was happening. It was a brand new church. They did not quite understand it. The Holy Spirit of God gave Paul the letter to send to them. They said they were concerned about it. I thought about this. This wasn't in the message. It wasn't in the passage, but I thought about this. They were concerned about their souls. And I wonder tonight, are we concerned about the souls of our loved ones? Are we concerned tonight about the souls of those we work with, those we deal with, those we live with, those our family members, our friends? Are we concerned tonight about their souls? Just a thought I want to throw at you. He said, concerning them which are asleep. You notice Paul, in verse 13, he uses the word asleep. I like that word, amen. He says, they're asleep. They're not dead. He wasn't saying dead. He said, they're asleep, praise God. In the Bible, in the New Testament, death is spoken as of sleeping, amen. Listen, yeah, sure, we'll die. We'll take our last breath. Our very next breath will be the sweetness of heaven. But I tell you what, our bodies are just laying there. Our soul is with Jesus if you're saved, amen. And they're going to be with the Lord forever. Jesus told us that himself. Remember when Mary and Martha called Jesus and said, hey, Lazarus had died? John 11:11 says, Jesus said, our friend Lazarus, he didn't say he was dead. He said, our friend Lazarus, he was telling his people, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. Somebody tells me they're sleeping. I'm thinking you're laying in bed, dozed off, tired, amen. That's not what Jesus said, amen. He said, he sleepeth. Watch this. He said, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep, praise God. I love that passage, amen. Jesus Christ is going to bring him back from the dead, amen. He's brought folk back from the dead, and one day he's going to bring our loved ones back from the dead, up out of the grave, amen. Only Jesus can do that, praise God. He says they're asleep. They're just sleeping. What a thought. What a thought. Hey, listen, he said that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Can I tell you, the world that doesn't know Jesus, they have no hope. All they know is what's here, what's now, and what goes on until the day they die. And they figure, hey, we're just going to die. It's going to be over. Not what the Word of God says, amen. There's an eternity. There's a heaven. And bless God Almighty, there's a hell. Hey, listen, the world has no hope today. We need to tell the world. We need to be concerned about the things, what they're going through, as ye sorrow not. Whew. I'll tell you what. Last funeral I did was, I'm glad she stepped out, was my wife's father. And can I tell you, she's still discouraged about that terribly. There was sorrow there. There was crying there. I never seen my wife so discouraged in all her life. And she still is just right now. But I'm telling you, I can tell her on the authority of the Word of God, he's just sleeping. Amen. He's resting from all his trials and labors. Amen. His soul is with Jesus tonight. Amen. Praise God. As you don't sorrow as others do, which the world has no hope. The world looks and goes to a funeral and they say, hey, that's the end of them, it's over. Oh, no, it's not. No, it's not. I'm glad tonight I know Jesus. I'm glad tonight I know what happens when I take my last breath. And we can have hope that way. There's going to be hope. The Bible says over there, even them which have no hope. You know the saddest, I believe one of the saddest words in the English language, well, two words, no hope. I believe that's two of the saddest words in the English language is no hope. And can I tell you, you know what's worse than not being saved and knowing you're going to hell is being unsaved, not knowing Christ, and nobody looking for you. Nobody caring about your soul. That's no hope. Church, we need to be concerned. As these Thessalonians were concerned, we need to be concerned. The Bible says over there, it says, even the others which have no hope. For if we believe, here it is, I like that. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, amen. Listen, we need to believe, amen. I looked that up. Everybody knows what that means in the Greek, to put confidence in. I've got confidence in Jesus Christ tonight, amen. I've got confidence, listen, that he died and rose again and that he saved my soul when I called upon his name. I've got confidence that I'm born again on my way to heaven, amen. I believe tonight, amen. I believe when the world doesn't believe. I'm thankful I believe tonight. Amen. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, watch this. Paul said to the Philippian jailer, remember in the earthquake, they were all about ready to run out. The jailer said, hey, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe. Believe on the Lord. He didn't say go out and do this or do that. He said, you just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Amen. And thy house. Hey, church, we need to believe tonight. We need to believe that Jesus died, that Jesus rose again, that Jesus Christ conquered death, hell, and the grave, and that he's coming back for the church. We just need to believe, have confidence in that. Over there it says in Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believeth unto the righteousness, amen. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's a matter of believing what Jesus does and what he's doing for you and what he's going to do, amen, putting confidence in. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, those which sleep in Jesus. I thought about that a minute. Those that sleep in Jesus. Can I tell you, those that died are souls in a place called hell. And they're not resting. Their soul is not resting. And one day that soul and that body is going to reunite together and they're going to get a new body too because it's going to last forever in a place called the lake of fire, amen. So it's got to be different from the body got now because it wouldn't last very long, Rick, amen. Hey, listen, their soul's not resting. But those that sleep in Jesus, can I tell you tonight, they're resting from all their labors. They're resting from all their trials. They're resting from all their problems. They're resting from all their heartaches. They're resting from all the sorrow and the hurt that they lived, amen, while they knew Jesus. They're resting. Those that sleep in Jesus, will God bring with him? Will God bring with him? You know, departed, the way this says, the way Paul said it, departed believers, they're with Jesus now. That's right. I'll give you a verse to prove that. He just said it right there. Listen. Luke 23:43. You remember the two thieves on the cross? The one didn't believe, the other did. He said, Lord, remember me. Lord, remember me. And what did Jesus say? He didn't say next year or 1,000 years. He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Amen. When a believer takes his last breath, his body will be here, but his soul is going to be in heaven. Can I say this, hon? Sometimes my wife and I will look up at the beautiful sky. What a beautiful sky today. And she'll look up there and she'll say, is that where my dad's at? Is that where our loved ones are at that have gone on, amen, before us? Amen. That's what the Word of God said. That's what Jesus said. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Amen. You know what else Paul said over there? Listen to this. In Philippians 1:23. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart, which means depart from this world, and to be with Christ, which is far better. Amen. Hey, listen. There are souls in heaven today. Amen. They're rejoicing with Jesus. Amen. Listen. And one day God Almighty is going to raise that body up. Amen. They're going to join together and we'll have that perfect body like Jesus. But until then, they're resting from their labors. Until then, they're not struggling, can I say, like we are? They're resting. They're just sleeping. What Jesus said. Watch this. Here's the part I like. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Let me tell you what, you've heard this preached many times, so have I. I don't think I've ever preached on this. I'm talking a few verses out of it, but I thought, you know, maybe I need some hope myself, a little bit of help myself, amen, which we all do. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, amen. Let me tell you what, where is Jesus at now? He's up in heaven, amen. He's making intercession for you and I. It said in Romans 8:34, read it. He's also up there making intercession for you and I, amen. He's our go-between, amen. He's our lawyer tonight. He's our advocate tonight, amen. And he hears your prayers, but so he's up there tonight. But the Lord himself one day at the rapture of the church. Amen. He's going to come down. Amen. He's going to stay up in the clouds. Amen. We're going to meet him up there, and he's coming himself. The chief commander in chief. Amen. The chief ruler of the world. Amen. The one that's in control of everything tonight. The one that's got you and I. Amen. And he knows exactly about us. He's in control tonight. He's in command tonight. Yes, Satan might be the prince and the power of the air, but I tell you what, he ain't nothing going to happen that Jesus Christ doesn't allow. And he's coming back himself, amen. He's not bringing someone. He's not sending Moses, Elijah, amen. He's coming back himself for the church. You know what I thought about, Rick? I thought about he died on a cross for us. He might as well come back for us himself, amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. He said, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Descend from heaven. Watch. Let me go back to verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. He's talking about what the word of the Lord is, amen. That we which are alive remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Watch this. The word of the Lord. 2 Timothy 3:16. You want to believe the word of God? Do you believe every single word from Genesis to Revelations? I like one Baptist preacher said back from the South. He said, I believe every verse from cover to cover, amen. I believe Genesis 1:1 over to Revelations, whatever it is, 21 or something, whatever it is. He believes every, and listen, it's the word of God, amen. It says over there in 2 Timothy 3:16, he said, all scripture. That means Genesis 1:1 all the way to the end of Revelation. Every single bit, all scripture, amen, is given by inspiration. That means the whole Bible, amen. Listen, what the Bible says, I can believe, amen. What the Word of God says, I can take it to the bank, amen. What the Word of God says, I believe tonight. It says, given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness. Listen, what the Bible says, we can bank on, amen. Paul said he's coming back. He's coming back for the church. You can bank on it. You can count on it, amen. She said he saved you. He seals you until the day of redemption. You can count on that. You can believe that. Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. That shout, it's like a military command. I kind of look some of these words up. It's like a military command. Commander-in-chief said, hey, do this. Jesus is going to be the commander-in-chief that day. He's going to shout, amen, with the voice of the archangel. The archangel, amen, is going to be the chief of the angels. And with the trump of God, that trumpet is used, what? To get attention. To you, that trumpet sounds, amen. Listen, the dead in Christ are going to hear it. They're going to hear that shout. You remember when Jesus went at the grave of Lazarus, amen. What did he do? He didn't say, come forth. He shouted his name, Lazarus, come forth, amen. And Lazarus come out of that grave, amen, bound in hand and foot clothed. He come out of that grave. I believe if he just said, come forth, I believe every believer from that time on would have came forth, amen. But that's what's going to happen at the rapture, amen. They're all going to come forth, all the believers in Christ. Watch this. I'll tell you, I don't know about you, but I'm excited. I'm having a good time tonight. I'm enjoying the thought of it, amen, that one day the troubles and trials are going to be, and we're going to be with Jesus forever. Amen. Watch this. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Only believers. Only believers, amen, will be raised at this time. No unbelievers. Their time is coming 1,007 years later at the great white throne judgment. My friend, you don't want to be there. Because he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. You will be in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Watch this. Then we which are alive and remain. Can I tell you that could happen anytime? Can I tell you there's going to be millions and millions of Christians that probably will never have to face death, praise God, amen. And I tell you what, it could be this generation, it could be this church, it could be this time, amen, that millions upon millions of Christians will not have to go through death. And even if they do, bless God, it with Psalms 23, yea, though I walk through, you know, you're not going to stay there, your soul is going with Jesus. Through the valley of death, I'm not going to fear any evil, for thou art with me, thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. But I tell you what, Paul said right there, these with which are alive remain. There's some folk that might not have to even face death. What a wonderful thought. Shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. You talk about a reunion. You talk about a good time. I'll tell you, you ain't never been to a party. You ain't never been to a reunion. You ain't never been to nothing like that, amen. That's going to be a reunion that the world has never seen, that the world has never shared. We're going to be with our love. I see my mom up there in the air. She's going to go up first. Joyce will see her dad. He's going to go up first, amen. Listen, y'all, the lost loved ones, they're going to go up first before we do, and they got 6 feet further to go, amen. They're going to go up first, and we're going to meet them in the air, praise God, amen. We're going to see Jesus. What a day that will be. Well, my Jesus I shall see. What a day, amen. I know my wife, she sometimes we how long have we been out of school? 40 years or something? 42, I don't know, whatever. It's a long time. That's crazy, ain't it? Think about that. Sometimes they have 20-year reunions and 25 and 30, and I've been to, what, two or three of them. I don't like to go to them. I didn't like school. I couldn't wait to get out. If it wasn't for my dear wife, I'd still be, Jim, in 12th grade trying to get out of an English class. I'm not kidding you. That's the gospel truth, she'll tell you. I hated school. I still have dreams 40 years later about being in school. I really do. I'm trying to get to class on time, and it was just terrible. I never liked it, praise God, amen. But most of you might not have. Some did, I don't know. But, hey, listen, I never wanted to go over you. I'm not big get-togethers. I'm not big family get-together. But I tell you what, I'm looking for the day when we're going to meet together in the cloud of the sky. Can you imagine being up there with Jesus, amen? Being up in the clouds, amen? Looking down to the old earth, amen? Seeing Jesus one day. He said, to meet the Lord in the air. To meet the Lord in the air. There's been a couple people I've really wanted to meet in my lifetime. I got to see a few of them. But I tell you what, Joanne, when I think about meeting Jesus, when I think about seeing my Savior face to face, when I think about seeing those nail-scarred hands and those feet in that pierced side, when I think about seeing Jesus, amen, listen, we ought to get excited, amen. We ought to have joy in our heart. We're going to meet Jesus, amen, in the air. We're going to see Him one glorious day. We're going to look at Him face to face, amen, the one that died for us 2,000 years ago, the one that shed His blood. Hey, listen, the one that rose from the grave by His own power. We're going to get to meet Him one day. Praise God, we'll see Him. And then it says, we'll meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's for all eternity. All eternity. Then the Bible says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. If that ain't comfort, I don't know what is. I don't know what is. Comfort one another with these words. How many of you are facing trials. Don't raise your hand, you know, in your heart. How many of you are facing problems in this world? Maybe your job, maybe your finances, maybe your marriage, maybe your children or grandchildren or the problems in your life or health reasons or whatever it might be. We're all facing problems and trials in our life. Go ahead and read 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. Comfort one another with these words. Here's the message, here's the thought, and I'm done. Are you going up with the first bunch? Because if you're not, you're not saved. Heads bowed, eyes closed. We're not going to tarry. We're not going to sing a song just in the quietness of the moment. I believe I know most of your testimonies here today, but if you're here today and you're not sure you're saved, raise your hand. I want to pray for you. If you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, I want to pray for you. Listen, church, comfort one another with these words. What a comfort we have tonight in the Word of God. What a comfort we have knowing that one day Jesus Christ Himself is coming back for the church, you and I. When you go through the problems and trials of life, and you go through the heartaches and the headaches and the problems of life, you remember Paul said comfort. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. I'll tell you what. Besides the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus, I don't know what any more comfort is than knowing He's coming back for the church. He's coming back for you and I. And the problems will be over. Father, You're a great God and I love You. I appreciate You, Lord, for coming to earth, for dying, for giving Your life, for rising again, shedding Your blood. And Father, You're coming back one glorious day. And Father, like it said in the very next chapter, it says, but the times and the seasons You have no need that I write unto you. For the Lord comes as a thief in the night. We're not sure when You're coming. We don't know the day or the hour, but I believe we can know the times, Lord, and I believe times are short. Father, let us be concerned like these Thessalonians were for their loved ones that went on before. Let us be concerned about their souls. Father, let us not be ignorant of Your word. Father, let us remember, Lord, that we've got hope that the world does not have. We've got hope, and His name is Jesus, and You're coming back for the church. Father, may we thank You. Father, may we praise You. Father, may we uplift Your glorious, wonderful name. We ask these things tonight in Jesus' precious name. Amen.